I had the great pleasure of interviewing writer Kai Emmons 5 times for KABU before she ended her life in January 2023 through Oregon's Death with Dignity program. Kai was diagnosed with bulbar onset ALS in early 2021 at the age of 70. It's a debilitating disease which takes away the power of speech before affecting the rest of the body. And for now, at least, there is no cure. Always a strong and independent woman, Kai made the decision to end her life on her own terms. Kai lives on in her books, as well as our memories and our hearts. It was a remarkable life, and there will soon be a documentary film titled Vanishing, a love story recounting the last 6 months of that remarkable life. The filmmaker Sandra Luco, who was handpicked by Kai, is in Portland this week for 2 screenings of the work in progress, part of a fundraising campaign to complete the film. We're fortunate to have Sandra with us now to talk about Kai, the film, and the screenings. Well, Sandra, welcome back to Oregon, your home state.
Thank you very much. It is such a pleasure to be here for this particular event.
Well, you're both a filmmaker and a teacher of film production at Yale, Columbia, and Barnard. And you grew up here in Oregon. Your first film was the documentary Sharp Edges, about a childhood friend who went on to some degree of celebrity, some would say notoriety.
That's correct. My first film was about the first national figure skating competition of Tonya Harding, which was back in New York. And this was when she was age 15. And I had skated with her. We had the same coach. And the film itself became the basis for the movie I, Tonya.
And you also made the 2018 documentary, That Way Madness Lies, which we actually did a KABU interview for that when you had a screening for your brother, Dwayne. It was his 60th birthday. He was diagnosed with schizophrenia when he was 46. And I think that film was the work that caught Kai's attention and had her thinking that you were the right person for the project.
Yes, well, Kai and I had met through a Yale University function of women at Yale. She was from the first graduating class of women at Yale, and I had done a presentation there about women who had been involved with film, and we had met over Zoom, and it was at the height of the pandemic, and so we would have about maybe once every 2 weeks or once every 3 weeks, we would have a quarantini meeting. And we would talk, and we would talk about art and life and philosophy and storytelling for hours on end. And then she had said to me that she really wanted to not do these quarantinis anymore because there was something wrong with her voice. And I said, Kai, is it because we talk for 4 hours at a time and have several cocktails? It happens to the best of us. And she said, no, it's something much more serious than that. And about 6 months after that, she got the ALS diagnosis.
That ALS is called a bulbar onset, and that kind of takes your voice before affecting the rest of the body. So that's where the symptoms were coming from. She was losing her ability to speak.
Yes, she did lose her ability to speak really quite rapidly after the diagnosis. And ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, as it is also known, seems to attack people's strengths. And so for her, she was a communicator, she was a storyteller, she was this writer, and it was her voice that was the first thing to go. But she did see the movie about my brother, and she saw how directly confrontational I was with the issue of mental illness. And when we decided that we were going to make a film about the last 6 months of her life, she made me promise that I would confront whatever she confronted with the same sort of openness and honesty and approach it, which would include shooting her death with dignity.
There was a connection between you also, because I think you both studied film at Yale, though several years apart, and you both received MFAs from NYU, the Tisch School of Arts and Filmmaking. Sandra, were you already aware of any of Kai's work as a screenwriter and also as a novelist?
Well, this is the way I like to introduce Kai. As I say, Kai and I have so much in common. She lives in Oregon. I grew up in Oregon. She grew up on the East Coast. I now live on the East Coast. Kai went to Yale. I went to Yale. Kai graduated summa cum laude. I did not. We both went to NYU Film School. Kai won a Student Academy Award. I did not.
Now, when you first started working with her, and she was able to speak, you had those quarantinis that you said, she was kind of almost challenging you to kind of match her courage and her bravery, which I've known her for a few years before she died. We did several interviews, and it was just evident in her that strength and that persistence. Now, one of your film professors at Yale, Annette Insdorf, she's now a teaching colleague of yours, I think, at Columbia. She praised your ability to examine on film, quote, the fragility and resiliency of the human spirit. And I can't think of any story more attuned to that than Kai's story, her resiliency, but also her fragility in the face of the ALS diagnosis.
Absolutely. But it's interesting. I don't think there was any, I mean, there was physical fragility from Kai, but there was absolutely not any sort of mental fragility. She was very clear
Oh,
about.
no, I didn't mean to imply that. No, definitely, because I interviewed her even when she wasn't able to speak. She was using a text-to-voice device, and you could tell that everything up there was just perfect.
Absolutely. And she liked provoking people. It was a great challenge for me as a filmmaker because she was the one who had the agency in this film. She provoked me at every turn. She gave me a shot list every morning when because we actually did not meet in person until the day that I started filming, which was almost exactly 2 years ago. And we had made constantly, she got permissions from people. She demanded that her friends and family confront this issue of her ALS and the meaning of her life very profoundly and openly. And they really rose to the occasion, and everybody opened themselves up for this film to be made.
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit about her resiliency because I mean, it's almost her superhuman strength for Kai. She went kayaking during those last months before she passed and also took two guided trips on psilocybin mushrooms. Did you film those events? I know she wrote about that in her blog.
Yes, as a matter of fact, one of the things that was really important for both of us in making this film is that we wanted to show that despite the fact that her body was disintegrating, her mind was completely and totally there. And she was very much a part of the world, very politically active. As a matter of fact, the first time that I met her, I was coming over to the house and she said, or Paul said to me, "Please come to have dinner with us, but please arrive either before 6 p.m. or after 6:20, because Kai does not like to miss the A block of the Rachel Maddow show." And so, I mean, and literally, my first day in there, I met them, I gave them a hug, we sat down, and with a cocktail, we watched Rachel Maddow, which we did almost every night that I was there, there filming. She was somebody who was very important to her for people to understand that she wasn't the her whole was not the sum of her deteriorating parts. And so even though she couldn't speak, one of the things we worked very hard at was how do we get the lyrical, expressive, articulate Kai to be present in the film when she was so controlled by the limitations of the machines in front of her. And we ended up finding a company in the Ukraine, which was kind of amazing because when I drove up into her driveway for the first time, she had the Ukrainian flag hanging out to
Ha
her house in solidarity. We found a company called ReSpeecher, which literally does a technology called voice-to-voice technology. And her voice has been created for her to posthumously narrate the film, and it is her voice.
Oh, it's amazing. In fact, you sent me a link to a 4-minute trailer where you could hear Kai's synthesized voice out there through ReSpeecher. And I played back an interview I did when she was able to speak. I think that was like 6 years ago or 5 years ago. Anyways, for her novel Weather Woman. And it's just uncanny, the
Right.
similarity.
So there are two voices that you hear in that trailer. You hear the voice of her machine that she typed on, which is called the text-to-voice, and then the voice-to-voice, and actually you helped me out with this, Ken, is that you let me have access to one of the recordings. We sent that over to the Ukraine where the AI technology learns her voice, and then we have an actor read from her blog, and that voice gets converted into Kai's
Oh,
voice.
that's how it's done. Yeah, that was the part that I listened to when she was reading from her blog post that she wrote in those last 6 months
That's
before she
right.
took her life. Now, I want to get to the title, Sandra. It's Vanishing, and that was also the title of Kai's book of short fiction, which came out in 2020, and a theme of much of her work. Why did you pick that title for your film?
Well,
Maybe I just gave the answer there.
because Kai vanishes from us. Kai vanishes from us, but she's not really gone. And it's really called Vanishing, semicolon, a love story, and a love story is ALS.
Right, and the love story, you mentioned her husband Paul, who was just amazing to Kai, to you, and also to me when we did those last few interviews where she was using the text-to-voice device. That's a big part of the love story there. What was his role in helping get the film made?
Paul absolutely did everything that Kai asked of him in terms of being present in the film, in terms of showing how the caretaking happened. But then after Kai had passed, he has supplied me with photographs. He has supplied me with old 8mm film, family films of Kai. He is the associate producer on the film, and he has been just a tremendous partner and a very brave partner and participant in the film.
And he'll be there at the screenings tomorrow and on Monday.
Yes, so we're going to have two screenings. One is at the Mission Theater. It's free for everyone who wants to come. It's a fundraising screening. We still have about $100,000, that we need to get the film finished. What you will see is very much, I mean, it's a lot of the technical stuff that needs to happen that doesn't really sort of appear on the screen is where a lot of that money's going. And then the second screening is going to be on Monday evening at 7 p.m. at the Living Room Theater. And that you do have to make res go online and make reservations for. And there's a, I think it's a $13 ticket charge.
And that's a much smaller theater than the Mission. So,
Yeah, the mission I can have over 100 people, and the other theater, the Living Room Theater, is 61.
now in the publicity for the screenings, you quote Kaya saying, "This isn't going to be a grim film, I promise." That must have been a challenge to portray the joy of her last months amid the tragedy of her illness and kind
It
of her
wasn't.
body failing her and her death.
It wasn't. It wasn't. And that's all Kai. Kai was determined that we don't need to look at this tragically. And really, ALS, it, and the death with dignity is they're the antagonists of the film. But this is about how a woman chose to live in the face of coming, to. I mean, you even see in the trailer, you even see that, I mean, she's for energy. She's still injecting into her feeding tube her daily Dutch Brothers coffee.
Oh, right, that was in the trailer.
Yeah. Oh,
I noticed that.
and if any, the one of the founders of Dutch Brothers actually passed away from ALS. And so if anybody has any connections, how I can get in touch with the other brother, Travis, to see the film, that is something I really, really want to make happen.
How can listeners, people who support the film, want to see it finished and released, but we can't attend the screenings? How can we help?
I think the best way to do is to go to our website, which is www.vanishingalovestory.com, and there is a link to the Film Collaborative, who is our fiscal sponsorship. Any donations to the film are tax deductible, or to, well, it's to the Film Collaborative, earmarked for our film, is what makes them tax deductible because they're the 501c3.
Well, Sandra, thanks so much for joining us at KABU, and thanks so much for helping to keep Kai's memory alive.
Well, it has been the absolute pleasure of my career. This is not only do I think it's the best film that I've ever made, it has certainly been the most enjoyable film I've ever made.
We've been talking with filmmaker Sandra Lukow, whose documentary film Vanishing, A Love Story documents the last 6 months in the life of Oregon-based writer Kai Emmons. There will be two screenings of the film, which is still a work in progress, tomorrow, Friday, July 26, 7 p.m. at the Mission Theater in Northwest Portland, and Monday, July 29, 7 p.m. at the Living Room Theaters in downtown Portland. You can learn more about the screenings and the film and help support it, if you like, online at vanishingalovestory.com. This is Ken Jones for KBOO's News in Depth.